You know, the VeggieTales done a Jonah series, and they called it the Second Chance, or the God of the Second Chance. And Jonah is certainly the man who gets the second chances to do what God has called him to do originally. And God always has chances. Always. Always. Always, because he's a plan and he has a purpose. And these points and these principles, and I would just challenge you and encourage you that if you've been listening to the iPod and you've been listening to these sermons, that like take the principles of increase and apply them. Because if not, it's just another sermon. And if not, you might as well, you know what I mean, listen to anybody and everybody. But like if the principles of God and they're scriptural and they're what God is saying to us, we need to apply them to our lives. The first week we talked about everything starts with the word, yeah? Increase only comes when the Lord speaks his word, not what we may think or not think. Second point, principle of increase was if you go after Jesus, if you go after his presence, like Jonah ran away from the presence of God. Moses ran to the presence of God. And he says, God, Lord called him up into his presence. And the Lord, he says, Lord, can I see your presence? Can I see your glory? And God says, yeah, you can. Because if you go after his presence and the personhood of who he is, you get his glory. But most people want the glory without his presence. Most people want like to hang around with the good stuff and with the stuff that is like makes us seen. But we get to see what God wants to do when we go into the unseen place with him. When we go to the private place with him. And he takes us into places in him in the private so that we can handle it when we can come into the public. Important. Increase number, week two. That unless we know who we are and what our mission is and what stock we come from, we'll never even look for increase. We will think, this is my lot. This is my, this is all I have. I don't even know who I am in God. But then you'll never know that, we will never know that we're heirs. And we've unlimited resources available to us. If we don't know what our mission is, we won't know what is available to us to accomplish our mission. If we don't know what stock we come from, we'll just think, I'm from William Vera Kenny. That was my natural stock. But I have a supernatural stock. I have a lineage that goes all the way back. All the way. Yet to Adam and Eve. But all the way back to Abraham. And what was said to him was said over us. I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing to the nations. It still carries forth in Christ Jesus and those who are in Christ. And then we finished with last week that we'll know increase when we know we're sent from God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And until we come to the place of I'm sent from God. Because Jonah would never know what it was like to be sent unless he went. And we can sit on the sidelines and go, look at what they're doing and look what's happening in their lives. You will never know what they know unless you go like they've gone. You will never know what it is. You will sit, you will try ponder it, you will try study it, but you will never, ever know what it was like to be sent. Jonah would have never known what it was like to be sent unless he went. And people say, why am we not seeing the miracles and the signs and wonders of yesterday in the scriptures? Why are we not seeing it today? If we go as the disciples go, we will see what they've seen. But the key is they went. The key is they were sent, and the key is they went. And whatever God has for us, we have to go. Because if we don't go, we'll never know. If we can read about it in books that someone will write in this art, in this congregation, and someone will write in this nation, and we will read, how come at them? I knew them. When they first came to the church, they were broken, and they were cranky and bitchy and gossipers, and they got all their life right, and now they're going, and God is doing something incredible in their lives. And we'll go, and we'll be stuck where people came into the church. And we'd be left behind in history where God has moved on and is making history through them individuals. So we have to go like when he sends us. And when he sends us, we will receive the resources that is attached to that assignment. But we will never get the resource if we're sitting down. Amen? So this week, let's read. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go and tell the Ninevites, change their ways or die. Jonah isn't happy. Sharon's telling me to shut up. You know when your wife tells you to shut up, you don't shut up? Okay. Well, anyway, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship for that port, and went down to Tarshish and headed for Tarshish. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each one cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below the deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went down and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who was responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who was responsible for making all this trouble. What do you do? Who are you? Where do you come from? What is your country? What is your people? What people are you from?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he'd already told them. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up, throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder and wilder. Then they cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you please." They took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. We're with Jonah. He's after. We got to the point last week where they went down, "Who are you? What's your mission? What stock? Who's your people?" And they found out Jonah was the culprit. So they took him. "What will we do with you?" He says, "Throw me over the side, and all this will come." So they threw him over the side, and Jonah was thrown over the side. And God provided, it says, a big fish. It doesn't say a whale. It says a big fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah is now inside the fish, and here's what he prays inside the fish. From inside the fish, chapter 2, From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I have said to myself, 'I've been banished from the presence of God.' Yet I will look again towards the holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me and deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought me up. You brought my life up from the pit, O Lord. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. You want to get out of a fish? You start acknowledging who God is. You start acknowledging. He says, I love Jonah, because he was still caught up in self-pity and all that. He was like, you hurled me. You threw me into the waters. It wasn't God who threw him into the waters. It was Jonah who asked to be thrown into the waters, remember? But he was still in self-pity. Like, "Lord, you're after throwing me out of your presence." No, Jonah, you ran away from my presence. Remember? Now I'm dying in the pit. Now I think there's no surrounding me. Now my life is ebbing away. Now I'm in the pits and I'm barred in by the foundations of the mountains. Now I've nowhere to go. The currents are all around me. For crying out loud, "Lord, there's even seaweed wrapped all around my head." He was probably like a mummy inside of a boat, wrapped around in seaweed. But he says, Lord, and I want to tell you, you get nothing from God by trying to manipulate him and playing the sourpuss. You get nothing. You know the way when God doesn't do something, we go, well, that's it. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to be good-humoured. I'm not going to talk to people. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to do this. I'm not even going to pay me tithes. I want to tell you, that doesn't move God one bit. It might have moved your mammy or your daddy. It might move your husband. It might move your children. But it doesn't move God. Remember, Peter says he has unlimited patience. So he can outweigh any of us. It doesn't move him. Manipulation, turning his arm upside down, up his back, will not ever move God. And Jonah realized. And look at what he realized when he says, you know what, Lord? You know what he's saying to us? See, Jonah wrote this book, and I'll tell you at the end of all of this, my point would keep saying that why Jonah wrote the book. But Jonah started painting a picture. When I was looking at this, you want to get out of the boat or the belly that you're in or the whale that you're in or the fish that you're in or the predicament that you're in. Start thanking God for your salvation. Because Jonah was like, I was down in the pits. I was broken and lost, and there was no hope for me. I was swirling in the darkness. There was stuff being wrapped around my head. And then I called out to the Lord, and I started thanking him. He says like that when he shouted out that God reached down from his holy temple, and then he brought my life up from the pit. That if you have nothing to be thankful for in your circumstance because it's going against you, go back to when you were in the pit. Go back to when you were in no man's land. Go back to when nobody, you thought nobody loved you and nobody cared about you. And start remembering that stuff. And all of a sudden, something will come out of your spirit like Jonah. It came out of his spirit. He's like, oh, you threw me over. I'm barred from your presence. I've nothing going for me. But Lord, remember when I was broken and lonely and no one wanted anything to do with me? And you reached down from heaven and you sent someone by my path to tell me about the wonders of the love of God. And I heard it and I responded to it. And now, Lord God, I've hope and I've purpose and I've destiny and I've seen you do what only you can do over my life. And Jonah turned all of his cribbing and all of his moaning and all of his like disgruntlement against God. And he started realizing, no, it's not God. This is God. He's the one that takes me up out of the pit. He's like, he's the one that's been always kind to me and generous to me. That's the God. And he says, and that's what he says at the end. He says, with shouts of praise. He says, others cling to worthless idols and they forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I will shout with grateful praise. I will sacrifice my praise unto you, Lord God, even in the midst of this dark place, even in the midst of this pit, because he turned it around from being like, I'm done in. So my God can do anything. And we're in the belly of the whale. Like, you remember, just take a moment. Take a moment to remember where you were. As somebody said one time, my worst day in God was better than my best day without. Remember them days. Remember when you had no joy and no peace. Remember when you didn't know you were going to heaven. Remember when you didn't know what tomorrow brings. Remember when you had no confidence. Remember when your sin was beating you down and wrapping around you that you felt you couldn't even walk out the door. Now look at God's provision. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, were asking Jesus for a sign. He says, I tell you, here's a sign. Look at Jonah. He says, that's the only sign I will give you about why I'm here. I'll be 3 days in the depths and I'll rise again just like Jonah. He was saying to them, I'm here for salvation. I'm here to bring people out of dungeons and pits and dark places. I'm here to break the stranglehold of sin. I'm here to break the bondage of sin. And he says to the Pharisees, if you want the sign, go back and study Jonah. Because that's where you'll find the sign why I came. Because I came for salvation. I came to redeem mankind. I came so that mankind could come back into relationship with Jesus. And yes, I'll be in the depths for 3 days. But after 3 days, just like Jonah rose from the dead, Jesus says, I will rise from the dead. And John says this. 1 John says this. He says, Because he overcame everything, we can overcome everything. He puts us right in line with what Jesus done, we can do. So no matter what pit you're in, you can come out of it. Why? Because you're in him who comes out of pits. And he belongs to him who takes people like Jonah in pits and takes them out of pits. And the lineage goes on and on and on. So whatever pit we're in, don't build your house there. Don't make that your settlement. And he says, when Jonah done all of this, I nearly got ahead of myself. Becky gave me a great quote a couple of weeks ago. And she says, you better quote me. I'm going to quote you, honey. But it says, when he remembered salvation, he starts saying, God, you reached down and you took me out of the pit of the belly of this monster that I'm in. This stinking, smelly monster. They reckon that he would have been bleached. He would have been pure, pure white because of what was in the guts of that fish. And then, and it says that when the Lord, and the Lord commanded, when he got into a place, was, Lord, even if this is my grave, I'm gonna die praising you. That's what he resigned himself to. And you know what, guys? I pray for each one of us that we'll die how we lived. Loving God and praising God. I pray that for each one of us. That fear or nothing like it will grip you or me when we're going to be with the Lord. That even in our death, people will be saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. Because he said, if this is my end, I'm going praising God. If this is my end, I'm going to give a sacrifice of praise. And when he done that, it says, at the Lord's command, the fish spit him out onto dry land. Just here, Jonah, I wonder how far away he was in the water to be, you know, just projected right out of that fish, like, and he lands on dry land. Do you know what? God is so committed to get you and I to our destiny where he wants us. He is so committed to Jonah and to the people of Nineveh that he says, fish, swallow him. Fish, spit him out wherever I want you to spit him out. God is so committed to get you and I to our destination. Even when we run away, even when we blow it, even when we make a mess of it, God is like, no, there's another chance, and there's another chance, and there's another chance. Why? Because what he's put inside of each one of us, he is 100% committed that you and I fulfill our destiny in God. That's why he got fish, get him there. There, I can imagine the Lord whistling. Imagine when he got thrown in, he goes, fish. And now when he's finished, I don't even think he talked. The whistle of the Lord. And he's committed. And you might think everything is going wrong. God is committed to us. God is committed to get you to your destiny. He's put something inside of you that is of him. And he watches over his word. 1 Jeremiah verse 11, I watch over my word to bring it to a place of performance that it's seen by people. I put it in, I commit it, I make you, I shape you, I bring you through things. You run away, I bring you back. You backslide, I bring you back. You're disgruntled and you run away a bit. I bring you back to the place. I bring you back into alignment so that everything that's in my highway of holiness can come down the road right into your life, go through your life to the other part of the destination that I have. And you think, well, look, I'm in a job now and God has told me that I'm going to be an artist painting the streets of Dublin, and I don't see how that's going to happen. He's committed to fulfill what he's put in each one of us. If he has to clippers around the ear sometimes, he's that committed. If he has to get a whale to get us or 50 million people to walk by us and say, God wants you there, God wants you to do that, he is committed. You'll see it on the sides of buses. You'll turn on the Late Late Show and Ryan Tubody will say it to you. People will come out with a blue and say, you know, God gave me a word for you. A little girl would get up on the stage and start pointing out there. You notice she wasn't pointing here, she was pointing out there. She says, God has a plan. God has a big idea because it's all about them out there. It's all about them. And when we get caught up with us, that's what happened. Jonah, I'm not going. It was about him. He lost his identity as a prophet because he was trying to fulfill an identity that wasn't him. That's why the Bible says, I'll open doors that no one can open and I'll close doors no one can close, because he's committed to get you through the right door. And you try to go through a door that God has not opened and you're running into it. go, I'm sure this is God. Can I get everyone to pray in the church? And you go, I know it. We tried to buy 12 buildings before this one. And I was living my life. I was like, I'll just go through the door. And if God doesn't want it to happen, he'll close the door. Well, I tell you, it hurts when you run into a door and your nose ends up like this. I was like, instead of waiting to hear the voice of the Lord, I just kept going. And you can run, and that can be in the shape of a woman. It can be in the shape of finances. It can be in the shape of success. It can be in the shape of ministry. It can be in the shape of all of the things we think. But if God doesn't open the door, you will find yourself. You might get a little bit up to the threshold of the door and you find yourself. No matter what it looks like, if God is not in it, I want to tell you, you'll end up miserable. Ask Jonah. Ask Jonah. But he's 100%. That's why he says he gives us favor. That's why goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. Because they're commissioned to follow you and I so that we fulfill the destiny of God. That's why they're there. Look, let mercy and goodness catch up on you. We're running away from it. Oh my goodness, there's the goodness of God. Let it catch up on us. The goodness of God is the very life of God. The favor of God. It's designed to open the doors that are God ordained. And the favor of God is the key that gets put in to open it up so that you and I fulfill our destiny. That's why we've run away and we're back. Because God has placed a word in your mind or something in your spirit and you go, Lord, where can I go? Amen. Amen. And here's the crux of Jonah for today. Disobedience will rob each one of us of the joy that is set for each one of us. And some of the basics, Jonah was a specific word and he disobeyed. The Bible is full of words. And if we're living in disobedience, the Lord has no obligation whatsoever to answer one prayer that we say. He has no obligation. In his kindness at times, he does. But over a long term, he doesn't. That's why Jonah was like, I'm looking to the temple. Because he'd made a promise to Solomon. If people even look towards this temple, he said to Solomon, I'll answer that prayer. So he was like, man, I'm throwing everything in here. Lord, I know you hear my prayer because you said to Solomon, if anyone even looks towards this temple, even sets their face to look towards this temple, I will answer their prayers. And he threw it all in. It was like lifeline stuff. I'm throwing it all in. I'm throwing in every promise so that God will hear me and answer me. But when you're in disobedience, you're running out, you're lonely, you're miserable. You might go to church and live in disobedience. There's people in the pulpits of churches all over the world and they're living in disobedience to the word of God. And we're saying, why is this not happening and why is that not happening? We're out of zinc. How can what God wants to get to us, he wants to get it to us and we're living over here and God's highway is there. And have a guess what? His highway doesn't move. And if you want what comes down his highway, you have to come into alignment with his highway. Not God coming into alignment with our highway, because if he was coming into alignment with Jonah's highway, he would have been in Tarshish. God's like, I ain't going anywhere. If you want to run out and do what you want to do, you go and do that and you find the end result. It's not nice being swallowed by a whale. And what's even worse is knowing you're living outside of God's best for you. And Jesus said this, as my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and will remain in his love. I told you this, why? So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And if you do this, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Jesus says, I want your joy to be complete. He was saying, if you obey my commands, you will live in complete joy. And he says, and here's a promise. If you obey my commands, you ask my dad anything. Absolutely anything. And he will give it to you in my name. Absolutely anything, he says. He doesn't put any list under that of stuff he doesn't do. There's no footnotes. There's no, you know, appendix after that. It's like, you ask my Father. He says, you keep yourself in alignment with me and you will have a joy. You will have such a joy that you will know my joy and my joy will be complete in you, and you will ask me anything and my Father will give it to you. Amen. Amen. So that's why I keep saying every week, stop running. If God has given you a word 20 years ago, just come back to it. Just repent of running away. Repent. If you're living in sin, get out of sin. If you're living wrong, get out of it. You're robbing yourself of joy that's complete. You're robbing yourself of complete joy. You might be getting your twopence worth. You might be getting your 3 minutes of satisfaction, but you have no joy in your life. And God, as Jesus says, look at guys, I want to show you how to live out of a place of complete joy. You can have Raquel Welch at your side. You'd be miserable if you're disobedient. Whoever Raquel Welch was, the only movie star could come to me mind. Beyonce. Justin Timberlake. You can have all the money in the bank. You can have the biggest gaff on the street. You can have the biggest ministry. But you will not know the complete joy of God unless you're in line with what he has. And I want to tell you, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So you won't only, if you have no joy, you have no strength. And if you have no strength, you're weak. And if you're weak, you're being slapped around by every darn thing in the world. And everything that is thrown against us, we've no resistance to it. Because we've no joy equals no strength equals a miserable. David Wilkerson preached the great sermon, saved but miserable. I'm on my way to heaven, but I have a miserable existence on the way. And Jesus says, look it. Jesus says, I'm going to make, here's how to make your joy complete. Good sound on the phone. And I need to finish with, Becky pointed out when she was reading Jonah a couple of weeks ago. She says, Dad, you get it. I'm like, get what? You know the way somebody has something. She goes, God provided the fish. I was looking, I was like, that was his punishment. No, but it was God's provision. It was God's coming into his life and going, here, I'm not letting you drown. This is not your end. You might go under. You're not staying under. It's like God's provision, the boat thrown him over. God had provision made for what man was already going to decide in the past that he had already had it met in the future. And God's provision, the Lord spoke and he says, Noel, 2 weeks ago, Noel, pepper heaven with prayers. Pepper heaven. Fill my inbox. Fill it up. His memory doesn't lapse. See? You don't fill up God's memory in his inbox. Fill it up. Whatever prayers is on your heart, whatever things you need, don't just pray for the big things, the little things, because when he answers the little things, it builds your faith up for the big things. And when God gives you a word then for the big things, God wants to say to some people this morning, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Now, faith has to be released with that yes for you to step out in what God is saying yes to in your life. The answer is yes. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless your great name, O God. We thank you, Father, for seasons of increase. Father, just bring home to us again, O God, the application of principles, O God. Lord, releases the fruit of the principle, O God. So whatever you said yes to God in a couple of weeks ago around, go way back to when I first brought about the season of increase. And God spoke to you or asked you to do something you didn't do. Go back to it and do it. Because it's only in the application. It's the fruit released. And Lord, here we are. And just before God, just close your eyes, guys. If you're in any known sin, repent of it before God. So that he can make your joy complete. and that your prayers are unhindered. Unhindered. There's no condemnation. This is a call to victory. This is a call to overcoming. This is a call to bring us into alignment as individuals, as people. Lord, show us. As a church, Lord, show us. All we want is your voice, Lord. That's what we want, Lord. Now repent of it. Turn away from it. Jonah says that those who cling to worthless idols forfeit grace. Meaning that, and here's an idol, not something that's built just of wood or clay. Anything that is put before God is an idol. Success can be an idol. And if we put any idol before God, we're forfeiting grace, like the release of God's oil of operation that enables us to gain wealth in the first place. But if we put it back to front, we're like, no, that means more to me than what he is. It could be a car, a computer, it could be a sport, a hobby. That if God hasn't got first place, well, then it's taken the place of God. So bring it into alignment. Lord, that doesn't mean that much to me. And here I am, Lord. I turn away from it. And I realign myself with your plans and your purposes for my life. It doesn't matter if you've been clinging to that thing for a week or a month or 20 years. It doesn't matter. Today is the day. You say, Lord, I'm letting that go. And I'm clinging, I'm aligning myself with the plans of God for my life. Say amen. And Lord, can the worship team come back? And what I want us to finish with is, let's pepper heaven with prayers during this worship. Let's release what's in your heart to God. Release what's in your heart to God. There's nothing too small and nothing too big. There's nothing impossible with God. You may have a prayer for your granny, or you may have a prayer for your job. You may have a prayer for provision. If God provides the fish for Jonah, he provides what you need. You know what he said to the Pharisees when he talked about, this is the sign I'm going to give you? He says, look at Jonah. And he says, there's one here that's greater than Jonah. That's what he said. He said, Jonah, man, was cool, but I'm the real deal. And I answered for him, and I'll answer for you. And there's some people, and you may have been praying about future, you may have been praying about relationship, you may have been praying about stepping out in faith, starting something new, whatever. Pepper heaven with them during this song. Maybe put your hand on the, or ask the person beside you, will you stand with me and pray? Will you stand with me? Just beside us. We're all in this together. We're all the body here. We're all ministers. Just look to the person and say, look, I want to pray a prayer. You just say amen with me, will you? Just stand with me. And let's pepper heaven. Let's pepper. It's like God's inbox. Boom, Lord. Here it is, Lord. Here I am, Lord God. Here's what I want to bring before you, Lord. Like he loves us. You know, I had when we were singing this song earlier on, you know, do you ever, you know, go to a, you know, to a party or a wedding, and at the end of the night, everyone has their arms around each other, like, you know, we go, I love you. And I love you. And it's like, I had this just picture of us all with arms around each other's shoulder singing, he loves us. He loves us. Why? Jesus said in that passage in John, he says, the Father loves us. Why will he answer us? Because he loves us. Why will he say yes to us? Because he loves us. Why does he want to bring us back into alignment so that his joy will be complete in us? the completeness of God's joy and our joy. And Lord, we just say this day, Father, we just thank you that we've an open heaven right now, Lord God, that Lord Jesus has secured for us, Lord, the ability to be able to go into the throne room of God, Lord, by the blood of the Lamb, and say, Father, this is my need. Lord, this is my passion. This is my desires, O God. Lord, this is where I need you to be for me right now. And the Father is sitting on the throne, and he's saying yes, and he's saying amen to those who are in Christ Jesus. So don't be silent, right? Sing them out to him. Whistle them out to him. Just fill up heaven with the prayers that's in your heart. I went through the prayer box yesterday, and the amount of prayers of people's brokenness and family members that have sickness and people in addiction and people needing jobs. And I prayed over each one of them. I prayed over every seat in this place. I prayed over every family represented in this place. And God's answer is, I will come true for you. Pepper heaven with your prayers. Let everyone have someone beside them. Be bold. If you look around and there's nobody, if you have sick in body, tell them, will you just pray for healing? Fill the box up in heaven. Come on, be bold. Be bold. You're from good stock. You're from good stock. Be bold.